Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, her two young sons kept insisting a boy named Jerry lived in their bedroom closet. What happened when she finally started wondering whether they were telling the truth?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. And yes, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online if you want to share your real ghost stories with us. Tell us in the comment section your ghost story on YouTube. If you're not over there already, do check us out on YouTube. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online. And now you can watch these very episodes on your devices. You ever have or hear strange things from children that you just chalked up to being just their imagination? Like someone says, whatever, and you're like, it's just your imagination. Or were you the child that had something strange, that you brought something to an adult and you know you saw it or experienced something, and they're like, it's just, you're just seeing things. It's just your imagination.
Not me personally. But we've talked about it a number of times, but my nephew Chris talked to my dad
for
a long time after he died.
Mm-hmm. I can't think of any situation where I had something happen. I mean, listen, my parents, you know, didn't think anything I had to say was worthy at all.
Sure.
Certainly in this case, if I did think I saw a ghost or whatever, they'd really beat the hell out of me. But No, I think we've all had kids go, I was talking to Sarah. Who's Sarah? Well, she's my friend. You know, I mean, I think we've all had experiences like that, I think, with little kids where it's like you just kind of think they're full of shit. But I think realistically, we should listen a little bit more to what they have to say, because there could be some sort of connection to something paranormal there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I never like. Through having kids, I never had any of them where they were like pretending to talk to something that wasn't there, you know, or even like played like there was, you know. So if they did, it would have stood out like, that's weird. Like it was never like that pretend thing. But I never did either. Like, you know, some people have their imaginary friends and they pretend like there's somebody sitting across from you at the table. Like, I didn't ever did that. I mean,
no, I never did that.
But to some kids, it's like vivid memories of these sort of things. And that's interesting, because that's our memory playing back. Are people in those situations, and probably varies, but are they remembering what, you know, our brain is reconstructing, because that's how our memories work. And in the reconstruction, there's a person there, or did they actually see somebody there when they were a kid and their memory is reconstructing exactly what that was?
I think it could go in a number of different directions.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that it's interesting, because I think it was last week we had a real ghost story about that. And it was like the older sibling remembered it one way, but then the younger sibling that had the imaginary friend just remembers having this friend.
Yeah. Like one like knew
it
the details.
It wasn't weird to that person, but the older brother was like, okay, that shit got creepy.
Right.
So I think we've had some.
Yeah, you could remember it differently.
I think we've had some over the years where it's been like two siblings and both of them remember like the same imaginary friend, if you will. And same looks and everything, and not necessarily that they were playing with them at the same time, but like generationally.
Right. I think you're right. Yeah.
And that's weird. Yeah. That would be really weird. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's an interesting one. And I think it's one that you don't realize is paranormal or weird until you're like an adult, because it just doesn't come across. It's just, there's a kid, you're playing. Sure. You know, that's the reasoning that you have going on at that time doesn't make it abnormal. at all. Your thoughts, you can drop them in the comment section on YouTube, if that's where you're listening or watching now. If not, go check us out. Search Real Ghost Stories Online over there. Let's go to a ghost story. 855-853-4802 is the number. Hello.
My name is Lynn, and I'm calling from Lancaster, Ohio. I grew up in the state of Ohio, born and raised in Lancaster. Growing up, I learned very early on that I seem to be able to feel things, be more emphatic towards people's feelings, understand things that were going on around me better. My grandma was a person that was very active with dreams. She would have a lot of dreams, understand her dreams, and believed in dreams. And a lot of times I get that same perception. I can have a dream and lo and behold, it'll pretty much come true. Or if it doesn't completely come true, a lot of its aspects will come true. Throughout the years, my father was an undertaker. My brother now is an undertaker. So I'm a daughter of an undertaker and a sister of an undertaker. When I was at the age of 10, we bought our first funeral home, moved into the funeral home, lived above it, grew up just as a common family living above a funeral home. And our funeral home was extremely old. It was from the mid to latter 1800s. And we lived there during the 60s and the 70s, well, and the 80s as well. There were things that we would fondly like to call that went bump in the night, but only in a certain area. And that was centered around the doorway to our attic. We would hear noises there, like somebody going up and down the stairs. Sometimes we would hear a door close. However, the doors would already be closed. Occasionally, we have a little bathroom, half bath, right there by the doorway that went upstairs to the attic. Occasionally, we would hear the water run and go in there only to find the water wasn't running. Or sometimes we would find it running. It was just some pretty weird things. It wasn't uncommon to see shadow people going in and out of that area as well, too, but it never happened anywhere else within the house part of the funeral home or the funeral home itself. As we moved on through life, moved to the state of Idaho in 1983, lived out there for the better part of 10 years, met my ex-husband, got married, had two children, returned to the state of Idaho, or returned to the state of Ohio, I'm sorry, and picked up life again here. Did have a haunted house situation in the state of Idaho. Don't have enough time to go into that one right now. But when we returned back home here, it just seemed like life picked up and moved forward again with being able to have these dreams that would tend to come true, moving from house to house to house, that something would happen in each house, nothing negative, mind you. It would just be bumps here, bumps there, noises of this and that. Occasionally, you would hear mumbling, and that would just go on and on and on from house to house to house. Finally, in 1992, I separated from my now ex-husband. I moved into a little apartment. Had to go into a cheap rental area with my our two sons, which had returned to college, was working on my degree, and just moving forward again in a different direction of my life. One night, sitting on the couch, looking down the hallway, I thought I saw my oldest son go across the hall into the bathroom. I kept watching for him to come back out, make sure everything was okay. Never saw him come back out. Finally, my boyfriend that I was dating at the time asked me if I was going to go down there and check on my son. And I looked at him and said, did you see him too? And he said, yes. So I went down there, and lo and behold, he's not in the bathroom. He's sound asleep in his bed. I walk in his bedroom, and the closet door's open. And I was pretty certain that I remembered having closed that door when I put him to bed. But I thought, well, maybe the boys got up and got something out of the closet. So the next morning when I got up to take him to daycare and go on to college myself, I realized the door was open again. So I asked the boys then, who's opening the closet door in the middle of the night? Which one of you are getting in there and getting stuff? And they said, we aren't doing it. It's the boy that lives in the closet. Of course, I took notice of that very quickly, being a parent, and asked them, I said, well, who lives in the closet? And they said, well, there's a boy that lives in the closet, and his name's Jerry. And so I just kind of listened to him, thought, okay, imaginary friend, you know, the whole works like that. Later that night, I put the kids to bed and closed the closet door, got up the next morning, closet door's open. Well, then a little later, we had some communication with the kids' dad, and he wasn't very friendly on the phone with me, nor was he very friendly with our oldest son. this was just a few days before Thanksgiving of 1992. So I'm talking on the phone to my aunt. You see these funny shadows bouncing on the wall down, coming out of our son's bedroom. And just as I go down to start checking on it, my oldest son runs out of the bedroom screaming, it's on fire, it's on fire. And I look in, and sure enough, the bed is just engulfed in flames. I quickly grab both my sons, a few items, close the door, run out the door, you call 911, do all that. Then once I set my oldest son down and ask him what happened, he had been very upset with his father over some negative things his father had said towards him on the phone. And he went into the bedroom, and he said that Jerry told him to burn up the pictures of his dad. Now, mind you, my son at the time was only 5 years old. He managed to find a lighter, which I didn't smoke, so I didn't have anything like that around the house, but somehow he managed to find a lighter. He set his pictures of his dad and him that was in his bedroom in the middle of the bed and set them on fire and totally engulfed the whole apartment rather quickly. A couple days later, I was on my way to college again. I dropped my kids off at daycare, and I felt somebody pushing in the back of my seat of my car while I was driving to Columbus. And so finally I said, Jerry, are you riding in this car with me right now? I said, if you are, push on the back of my seat 2 times. And I had 2 sets of footprints pushing in the back of my seat. So I said, Jerry, I'm going to have a talk with you. According to my son, you told him to set his dad's pictures on fire in the middle of his bed because he was angry with them. And I said, that caused a lot of damage to our apartment that I have to pay for. And I said, I don't have that kind of money to pay for that. You are no longer going to be allowed to stay in our apartment because of that. I need you to go, and I need you to go today. We never had a problem with it, Jerry. Nobody talked about Jerry after that. The closet door remained closed. Nobody rode in the car with me. Nothing. Everything was done from that point in time forward. Jerry was gone. I have to believe now that Jerry was a boy that lived in the closet, because I went to my manager that evening and asked her if anybody had died in the apartment and learned that a boy the age of 12 had died of leukemia just a previous year before. His name was Jerry. I was just very, very floored at the time. Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you for sharing that story.
That would be crazy to hear that from your kids. It's Jerry.
Yep.
Jerry lives in the closet. She's like, Jerry, are you in the car with me? You're telling my kid to set the pictures on fire. Then to find out a boy died named Jerry.
And then to be able to just have a conversation with it in the car, and then it stops.
And the way she like is so matter of fact about it. Now, Jerry, did you do that? You cannot do that anymore.
Yeah.
Jerry. But I think it's great that she did that, because a lot of times we talk about if people are having experiences in their house or whatever, to have that conversation, to say out loud, if you are here, you know, I'm okay with it, but you're not allowed to scare me or whatever, or you need to go. This isn't your house anymore. Like taking back the power that they have felt like they've taken away from you in your own life.
Yeah.
And don't you think too that a lot of, because if that's just energy, basically, and then if you're fearful, you're releasing a certain energy.
Yeah.
So it would be different energy to be fearful as opposed to empowered.
Right. Yep.
Wouldn't it be great if there was a device that could just
yes,
zap the energy, zap the soul, and just make it go away that's haunting your home? Especially like when you're at the top of the stairs and they push you down with their hoof. Well, now there's a device that is was originally designed just strictly for that, for people being pushed down the stairs by entities in their homes. It's called the Soul No More. And it certainly gets rid of the evil souls that do that in your home. But it also does so much more. Take a look.
Are you tired of being pushed down the stairs? Not by your kids, not by your dog, by the demonic entity that's been living in your home since before you moved in. Every night it's the same thing. You get to the top of the stairs, you grab that railing with both hands, You pray to God Almighty that the thing standing behind you doesn't use its hoofed foot to kick you down those stairs the same way it did last Thursday. You fell 14 steps. You heard your own ankle snap on step 6, and you still had 8 more to go.
My tailbone is in 3 pieces. 3. I can't sit in a chair without a pillow shaped like a toilet seat. My husband thinks I'm clumsy. I'm not clumsy. Something with hooves and breath like sulfur put its foot between my shoulder blades and pushed. I felt the hoof. It was cloven.
You've tried sage. You've tried a priest. The priest left halfway through. He drove to the airport. He doesn't do houses anymore. He works at a seminary in Portugal now, and he won't return your calls. But we're still here. Introducing the Soul No More Stair Protector. Simply install the Soul No More at the top of any staircase. Powered by a patented combination of miniaturized nuclear fusion, quantum soul frequency disruption, and a classified electromagnetic wavelength harvested from the recorded collapse of a dying star. A technology so advanced the scientists who invented it can no longer explain how it works because the prototype destroyed their souls during testing and 2 of them are now in prison for crimes they committed within 48 hours of exposure. The Soul No More emits a 6-foot radial pulse that completely and permanently destroys the soul of any entity near the device. Demonic, human, anything in between. Whatever was standing behind you at the top of those stairs is gone. Not dead, not banished, erased.
I installed mine on a Tuesday. By Wednesday, the whispering stopped. The scratching stopped. The shadow on the landing was gone. I walked up those stairs without holding the railing for the first time in 4 years. Then the pulse got me on Thursday. And honestly, that was the best day of my life.
Now here's what we need to tell you. And we're going to be upfront about this. The Soul No More does not know the difference between a demonic entity and you. If you are standing in front of the device when the pulse fires, it will destroy your soul too. That's how the technology works. That's the trade. And honestly, our customers wouldn't have it any other way. Without a soul, there's no guilt, no empathy, no shame, no doubt, no moral hesitation of any kind. Our customers report discovering entire dimensions of human experience they were previously locked out of, simply because they had a conscience. That's gone now.
Oh yeah, it took my soul. Little pop behind my eyes and then nothing, the best nothing I've ever felt. I used to stay up at night worrying about whether I was a good mother. I don't worry about that anymore. I'm not one. I left my kids at my sister's house 6 weeks ago, and I haven't called. I blocked her number so she'd stop asking when I'm coming back. I'm not coming back.
The first week without a soul, I cashed out my mother's retirement account. She has Alzheimer's, so she doesn't know. She'll find out when the money runs out, but I'll be in a different state by then. I set her up with Meals on Wheels, so I'm not a monster. Actually, I am. I canceled the Meals on Wheels the next day. I needed the money for a boat.
I left my family. Didn't tell my wife. Didn't tell my kids. My daughter had a dance recital that Saturday, and I was supposed to be in the front row. I was in Reno. I turned my phone off when she called. She's 9. She called 11 times. I watched the notifications come in and felt absolutely nothing. It was like watching weather.
I robbed a credit union in broad daylight, smiled at the teller the whole time. She was pregnant. She was crying and holding her stomach. I told her to hurry up. I didn't raise my voice. I didn't need to. She could see it in my face that nothing she did was going to make me feel anything. I walked out and got a smoothie.
I've been running a fraudulent charity for 4 months. It's for children with cancer. There are no children. There is no cancer. I keep all of it. I did a 5K fun run last weekend, and people thanked me. I looked them in the eye and said, "You're making a difference." I've never slept better.
If you call in the next 10 minutes, we'll send you the Soul No More Stair Protector for 3 easy payments of $39.99. But wait, call right now and we'll include a second Soul No More for an additional staircase absolutely free. That's Two Soul No Mores, Two Staircases, Zero Demons, and Zero Soul for the price of one. The price you pay for protection is your soul. But let's be honest. What was your soul doing for you anyway? Keeping you up at night, making you feel bad about things you can't control, making you hold on to a railing and pray. You don't need it. You never did. Call now. Operators are standing by. They don't have souls either. One of them is a former hospice nurse who now steals from open houses on weekends. She's very helpful. Soul no more, stair protector. Lose your soul. Keep your balance. Call 1-800-NO-SOUL. That's 1-800-NO-SOUL.
Isn't it a lovely thing that all the shit that goes on in my mind can now be put onto a screen?
Well, and it had such a twist to it. Because yeah. I thought it was just going to protect people from, you know, the cloven hoof pushing you down.
Did you like that?
I liked the lady that said, and there was a hoof. It was cloven.
That was the shot of the hoof.
Yeah.
It's like the giant hoof pushing her down the stairs.
So I thought it was here to protect you and you could get some help. But no, it takes your soul.
It takes your soul.
And you don't go down the stairs.
Yeah. When they take it and you have nothing to protect, it's like, well, I guess you can do whatever.
My favorite character is I run a fraudulent charity now.
I set my mom up with Meals on Wheels. Then I stopped it.
I'm not a monster.
Wait, I am.
Maybe I am. I like the grandma who has her suitcase and she just walks past the waving kids for some reason hiding behind the door.
Yeah. I would love it if I could let go of all the humans in my life and be like an asshole to everybody and feel good about it. I am there.
You just need the soul more.
Need it.
That's all. Yeah, just boom. Like you're not going to get pushed down. It's amazing what it can do. So that's a crazy shit I came up with this week.
Jesus Christ.
I think we got one more ghost story we can get in here. 855-853-4802. And if you want, write in as well. Comment section there on YouTube. We'd love to hear your ghost stories. Hi.
My name is Dwayne, and I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. Recently started watching or listening to the show and absolutely fell in love with it because it's nice to actually be able to have a hub to come to listen to these things. My ghost story starts off kind of young. I was about, 8, maybe 9 years old. My family growing up was more of the super dysfunctional. My father had a temper. He liked to drink, and he would occasionally, more than occasionally, I suppose, take it out on my mother. So we had all come home from the state fair, and things had been going great for the last couple of days. This one event, something had happened at the fair between my parents that I did not know about. I still don't know what occurred, but it really doesn't matter. Because when we got home, they went up to the upstairs, which at the time was off limits to me. And I stayed downstairs. And as this time period went on, I began to hear louder and louder yelling and fighting and cursing and screaming. And I just, for some odd reason, ran into their bedroom. I didn't normally go in there, but this time I chose to go in there. And it was in the middle of summer, so we had the air conditioner on in there, and it did tend to be a little cooler in their room. I'm sitting on the floor, just upset, trying to get away from the sound, when bedroom closet just opened on its own. Now, my first immediate thought, even at 8, was there a breeze or gust? Because, I've seen how when you have multiple windows open, doors can open and close themselves. This stuff happens all the time. But the window right immediately beside the bedroom door had the air conditioner in it. There couldn't have been a gust of wind to open a door. Coming from that way, it would have pushed the door to, not sucked in and made like a vacuum effect and pulled it out. I was not too inclined to stay in the room after that. Even though my parents were still fighting, I went to the stairs and sat midway on the stairs. Just felt safe for some reason on the steps. About another 10, 15 minutes went by. I was on the stairs just kind of wanting the argument to be over with, so my parents came down there with me. My dad's sister, throughout my childhood, was able to calm him down the most. She had a husband who was worked at a factory and had a bunch of keys on his key ring all the time. And everywhere he walked, you could hear, you know, the jingle, jingle, jingle. So the longer the fight went on, the more I began to just think about going down and calling him. I can't really put a pinpoint time on how long time passed, but for no unexplained reason, I heard the back door to the house, which was the main entrance to our house at the time, open, and I heard those exact keys jingling. I went down the steps, went to go talk with this gentleman so that I could tell him what was going on, so maybe he could go upstairs and help stop the fighting, and nobody was there. I was a little bit freaked out, but for some reason it didn't bother me that bad. And it wasn't maybe 2 minutes later, our phone rang and I picked it up and it was my dad's sister. And I told her what was going on. And then she sent that same gentleman over and he did eventually show up. So I don't know if maybe it was just, somebody looking after me or what, but, grown up now. I'm a nurse. I'm an emergency room nurse. And I have several more different things that have occurred between growing up and being a nurse and seeing a lot of stuff, seeing a lot of death, and then some really weird things that have occurred afterwards. And I may call back later to share those stories. Love the show. Thank you all very much. Just keep up the good work. Bye.
Thank you for your ghost story. Thoughts on that?
Two stories today about closets.
Yeah.
The boy in the closet, Jerry in the closet.
Right.
And now, right?
Everybody's in the closet.
Come out of the closet, everyone.
Here's my dog.
Here's Belle.
Well, mine's in the background barking, so I hope you can't hear it.
No, she doesn't have an earpiece. She doesn't like it.
I apologize.
She just for Benji's behavior. It gets in the way of her fur. She doesn't like it very much.
It'd be
much.
Great if she did wear an earpiece and she heard everything that went on these podcasts. That would be great.
Her own little doggy one.
Yep. She's...
Be great. I could like put the receiver here on her collar.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Great idea.
We can mic her up too. We could put a little microphone. Wouldn't that be good? Would you like that, Belle? Yeah.
Okay. Now you can just invent a device that can tell us what she is thinking.
Well, I think that
I think you could do that next.
That might be I've been talking about that idea for a long time. We should make a commercial about that.
Yes.
Oh.
Write that down.
I'm actually going to do that right now. Let's see. Like here.
Maybe Belle has had some paranormal experiences of her own.
Ooh, yes.
Ooh, pet themes.
Yeah.
All of them could be pet themed. Interesting.
Uh-huh.
All right. My creative juices are now flowing.
Great.
Yeah.
We'll have to mop down the studio then.
Yeah. Oh, good thing tomorrow's cleaning day. So, you know, there you go. And every time all of my equipment gets moved, the camera's like over there. I'm like, what the fuck happened here? But
oh yeah, it was cleaning day.
It was cleaning day. So, yep. All right, that's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. We'd love for you to share your ghost story with us. Do it on YouTube. Do it in the comments section right there. Jump on there. Leave us your ghost story. Tell us what you think of these ghost stories, and we'd love to hear from you. Until next time, for Todd and Carol, I'm Tony. Thank you for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.